We are talking today about being uniquely gifted. And before we get into the session, he lives in us. He wants to outpour through us. But we're just going to welcome the Holy Spirit to come in full freedom. Father, to breathe on this place, Jesus, begin to flow. We ask, Lord, that you release your joy into this atmosphere. We ask, Lord, that you just come play with your children today. Would you come and grace us with your joy and with your presence? Show us what it means to be really uniquely gifted in you. Take us to the place that we haven't thought about before. And it's okay, Father, if you allow us to take that God-type dream, that dream that you want us to go fuller and deeper and into, and speak to the future of the young ones, Jesus. Would you begin to pour out passion upon their lives, Father, that would go deep into their future, Father, and give them a hope and a future just like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, is what he says. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans to keep you, plans for a hope and for a future. So today we are talking about Romans 12, we're talking about gifts, we're talking about uniquely gifted, and this is what you need to know. We're going to be talking about personality, we're going to be talking about abilities, we're going to be talking about how to take those natural given born abilities and to put them into a position where God can use you in the supernatural, because with all the gifts, there is talent involved, because, see, even before you were born, before you were even knit together in your mother's womb, he knew you and he formed you in that secret place. He knew exactly who you would be before anything was written in the book. Anything. So he knows exactly who you are and what to pull out of you. So we might be pulling out a few things today. So I'm daring you to dream with God with me today. Dare you to move into the ability of the unique gifting. Dare you to take that which was from ability to the supernatural and move into the spirit realm, into moving with God, and that comes with a listening ear. And I have a helper today, and I have two helpers today, actually, young people. But a few years ago, and I didn't bring my book in, I had one with me, the Lord began to give me a cycle of dreams, and he began to show me different personalities that he had placed within humankind. And he began to show me of things and how he tied it in with his spirit. See, we can talk about the Holy Spirit. We'll never be able to define him, trust me. We could be having revelation from here on out, even into eternity, and we will still not be able to fully define who the Holy Spirit is. But he gave me tidbits, and I would go into dreams, and he would show me personalities that he's placed within people, and it matches with Romans 12 that I'm going to talk to you today. That's the exciting part. He would come up and he would stand behind me in instructor form, and he would just begin to just show me scenarios and show me how this personality he intended to work. I'm not talking about the trash personality that we get into from the flesh and from the world. I'm talking about the divine attributes that God has placed within you that is him, that he intended to be him, that he intended for you to fully develop, that he intended for you to flow and move and be the living water for the person next to you. But here's the reality of it all. You really can't flow in the gifts. They aren't for you, according to Romans 12. They're not for you. They're actually for community. They're for other people. And you cannot flow and function in supernatural gifts unless you're in a community-type unity form, common unity of the church, community, common unity. So what we do in church, we think that church ought to be the way we think, right? I mean, you know, if I have this certain idea of the way things should be, I think that everybody else should think that way too. But the reality of it is unique. You know what unique means? It means I ain't quite never seen another person like you before. All right? She's special. Okay? So if Deanna, she's going to be bold, and she's going to come up here with me. She's my helper. Did I say that right? All right. Yep. Deanne? She's my reader. She was brave enough to say, Miss D, do you need anything done today before you go to class? And I said, absolutely. Of course, she didn't know what I was going to ask. She's my dramatic reader. If everybody would turn to Romans 12, we're going to be discussing Romans 12, 6 through 12. It's,
yeah,
right there. Anytime you're ready, bold and true.
We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully.
That's good. That's good. I said through 12, but we're going to stop right there, okay? Go ahead and have a seat. Make sure I stay on track, okay? There are like several different places that there's a gift listings. And I personally have found 26 different gifts that the Bible, the written canon of Scripture, the written word, because we know the word is really not a book, it is a person. But the written word has at least 26 gifts listed, and I'm here to tell you there's more than that. Okay, I have a list on my computer here of the ones that I've done the study, I've done the research, but you're going to find most of the lists in Romans 12. You'll find our list. You'll find three lists in 1 Corinthians 12. You'll find a list in Ephesians 4, okay? You'll also find a list in, I think it's 1 Timothy 4. So that makes it easy. It's 12 and 12 and 4 and 4. So that's where you're going to find your main list of gifts. But see, God takes you even deeper than that. He just wants you to know that there's differences out there. He intended for you to be different. You're not supposed to be like the next guy. There is things and plans that he has that he only needs you to do it. Only needs you to do it. So listen to the Holy Spirit as I'm speaking on the unique giftings. And so as we branch out, you're going to see it's not all about art. You know, it's not all about its differences in each other. And by the time we're done, I'm hoping that you will begin to see the beauty that's in all the personalities. Because when I was going through this dream state and the Lord was linking up his divine attributes that he wanted to highlight, he took me back to Isaiah 11:2, where it talks about the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God are mostly listed in Revelation, a couple of other places in the Bible. Don't think I'm going out there deep somewhere. This is God teaching me this, okay? I'm not saying there's seven spirits out there and I'm not taking the Trinity out, okay? Don't get scared. But he was showing me the divine attributes that he places within mankind. And so he took me back to the old prophecy in Isaiah, where it's discussing the lineage of Christ and who would be, you know, carrying the spirits, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of knowledge. Okay, those are all listed. These are in the attributes of divine personality that he has given within you. Each of you carry it. There is nobody here that is sitting in this place that is not gifted.
Amen.
And nobody should leave this place that don't have an idea of who they are in the Lord.
Amen.
But what that takes is developing that knowing of how to listen to Christ, knowing how to listen to the Holy Spirit that is within you. So everybody in here received the Lord into their heart? Okay, I assume I'm speaking to Christians. So we're going to get down and we're going to discuss. So the first one was, Beth, you have Romans 12 there? So the first one is prophecy. Let's talk about the prophetic. The prophetic are very unique people. How many know a prophetically gifted person? Okay. These guys will stretch you and take you. These are the artistic personalities. These are the creative personalities. These are the ones that have out there thinking on the normal scale of let's think about and let's rational thing, you know, talk about rational things. They are the people who are flamboyant. They see things in living color. They have a different way of viewing things altogether, all right, to the prophetic person. Their personality is everything means something. Everything means something in the spiritual realm because they're your seers, right? They see things in the spirit. So everything to them means something. Take collars, even collars mean things. They'll see some even see in auras and see collars and when they pray. And it take numbers, even numbers mean things. Little things that you would just take for granted. Like for a digital clock, for instance, to a prophetic person, a digital clock is not just a clock. It's a portal to heaven. So when they're waking up in the middle of the night and they're seeing these numbers flashing, and it's like 1234, 1234, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the moment of divine order. We are standing in divine order. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that would seem a little weird because we're just like thinking it's 1234. You know, and they're going, that's the second time it happened today. That's the number of witness. So they see spiritual stuff in everything. Matter of fact, so much so you're thinking, where did that come from? Sometimes, you know, you're just way out there. So that's your prophetic personality. You can see somehow that might not be understandable to somebody who is like, and what's the next one?
Serve.
The what?
Serve.
To serve? Okay, let me go back to my notes. To serve. And I'm sorry for the gaps. I got my computer here today. To serve is actually ministry. Okay, when you... I know the different translations is, you know, they interpret different. So I usually take it clear back to the Greek, and I study it deep, and I want to know exactly what it said and what it meant. So Young's literal translation to me is like gold. I want to know what the literal translation was. So these are the ones that minister. The ministers are not as you would think or assume. You think minister being the pastor, you know, something like that. But that's not what it's talking about here. The ministers were actually ones who were in service of, okay? In the synagogues, they could be the temple guards, okay? The ministers were in service to a leadership. They were in service of a unit, okay? They had a function, and they dealt in it well. Nowadays, you know, the early church may have been elders, the prayer warriors, you know, that would go call on the elders and they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They were your elders. In today's society, in the American church, they've become the ushers or, you know, another function of that the pastor has right there. But still, they are ones in service. Their personalities, okay, are like straight on. They want things done in order. They want things done in fashion. They want to know that we're functioning as a unit. They want to know that the ministers make sure everything's okay. They're more like a watching guard, you know? And so their attitude is like, you need to know two things in life. One, we're in a battle, and we're in a battle to win. You can't take the pro out of protocol. You got to fall in line. You got to get in line. If you take the pro out of protocol, then I will be watching you. It is a system. We are in system. But we are going to take the sis out of systematic. There is no sissies in here. So put on your big girl panties and deal with it. They're a little stronger personality. One that would kind of like, who do you think? You know? Yeah. Who do you really think you are, you know? So you can see where that might not mesh, you know, that might not go. And so the real question today is, how old were you when you realized you were not like the other children? Because at some point in your life, you did figure it out that there was differences. So it's really beginning to love the differences, understand the differences, begin to love the differences, because it's the differences that really make it a functioning unit. And I know you've heard many sermons that we are one body, and if the liver wasn't in function, who is, you know, in there and whatever else, we understand that, and some of us are armpits, you know. You don't hear any sermons on armpits. But we all have a function, seriously. And they're all important. We need every bit of those, all right? So that personality is very bold, very definite. You might, we'll get back to going into the spiritual here in a minute. So what's the next personality?
Teaching.
Teachers. What can we say about the teachers? Okay.
They're right on the front row.
Teachers are kind of hard to get along with sometimes. Teachers are your gifted people who understand function. Their main purpose in life is to get you to function. Seriously. They're actually God-given divine attribute is to get other, not themselves to function, and to help other people to function. So if there's a weakness in a place that needs knowledge, they will fill the gap and they will come in and they will teach. So, you know, your teachers are teachers. So if you don't know something and you're happy not knowing something, they don't care. They're going to teach you anyway because that's what they do. You know, right? There's teacher right there. Okay, just let me show you how it's done. I got a 10-step program for that one. You got 10-step programs over here. You got 10-step programs over there. I mean, they for every subject, you know, they're going to have a 10-step program and lay it out for you. But the same personality that's a teacher, and this is what the Lord had to show me through dreams, is also the same personality of a counselor, and you may not have known that. That was a revelation to me until I really started seeing it in people. Because teachers are great at teaching until you have a problem. And then they all of a sudden become your counselor. And then if it's a problem, then they're going to fix you. Okay? So that is also the same personality, by the way. And so the teachers are, come to my class. We're going to be teaching on freedom. I'm going to be talking about deliverance. You need to be there. I got a 10-step program of how to get there. I want you to invite your friend and that girl over there. Go get her, and we're going to sit in here, and we're going to discuss this. And if you don't come to, if you miss this one, then I got another 10-step program coming up because you haven't learned how to apply the Bible yet. It's all about application. It's all about applying the word when it comes to spiritualizing in the teacher. Applying the knowledge, applying it to function, to get you to your function. Teachers are great at what they do. They're actually born. They're a little girl in preschool. I watched one day. She comes in during their playtime, 5, 6 years old maybe. And so she's playing around in the free time, and she gets this idea, hey, anybody want to play house? Because it's not just fun to play, you know, for teachers. They want to be showing somebody something. And so anybody want to play house? And she gets a few kids to raise their hand, and so they raise their hand, and they said, okay, well, today we're going to be learning about communication. All right? I'm going to teach you about communication. The little boy goes, I don't know that word. And she goes, the word is communication. And if you don't know the word, that's okay, because you can play the husband and it'll be perfect. Sorry, David. We love our husbands. Actually, my husband is a very good communicator. That's not necessarily true, okay? It was just for humor. But to the men. But anyway, okay. So that is your teacher personality from young to old. They're going to be a teacher from here on out. And if you're the daughter or son of a teacher, you might as well just deal with it, because I don't care if she's 90 and you're 70, she's still telling you what to do. I've seen it happen. Yeah, yeah. And even if she's younger than you, she's telling you what to do. All right? And that's okay, because we love the differences. We love the fact that she pushes us into the functionality, you know, to get us to function better. What's next? Encouragers. Encouragers. Okay, I'm going to scroll down here. Scrolling. Okay, get past the green. Those who exhort. Okay. Those who exhort. This word exhort is your dynamic, charismatic personalities. They are your media, your lawyers, your preachers. I'm talking about evangelist preachers. I'm not talking about, you know, pastors that's in the pulpit necessarily. I'm talking about people who can speak at all levels, anytime, on any second, are comfortable in front of an audience. They love the audience. Matter of fact, they're not happy unless they're the limelight, because you could be sitting in a crowded room like this at a place and somebody walks in that they know and it was like, "Hey, how you doing over there?" You know, and of course everybody turns to look, and it was just like, "What? I'm just saying hello to my friend 20 people over." You know, so they're your really loud, boisterous, you know, they can kind of be irritating sometimes because they're so dynamic. Everything's drama. Everything's powerful. You know, they're the give me the microphone type of person, you know. And so the differences in them is great when they have a microphone, because they're fun. They're great. They want to, you know, you want to see that personality. They're the life of the party, the joy. That's where the divine attribute is, charisma in that. That is actually, if you look that up, that is, it literally says God-given talent, even in the regular dictionaries. I got to take a drink. I love Alaska, but if I don't drink water, I get dry. So the exhorters, if you want to put it on the spiritual level. Oh, did you have a question, Caleb? What was number four? Oh, the exhorters, which are the encouragers, by the way. You will see that is a good word to take that with it. Exhorter is the encourager, because you will see them encouraging people all over. You could go out to the boonies where no man goes in Alaska, and there might be one person, if you take an exhorter with you to camp out and get away from it all, they're not going to be that happy. So they're going to walk 5 miles to see that one person fishing on the other side of the lake so they can go, you know, encourage them or talk to them, because that is your evangelist personality, okay? They're your evangelists. They're the ones that go to the, with the emergency vehicles flashing, carrying the big red cross, you know, they're very dramatic when they come in. We got to help these people, you know? And so they're the ones that come in. And so when they're sitting in a church meeting, you know, this is like not good to them, because they're like, get out there, people. They're called to the mission field. They're called, you know, to go. And so sitting in a church meeting would just be like not their place. And so they're like, what are we doing in here? I can't believe you're just sitting here. What are you doing? We need to be out there. There goes another car driving by. You don't care. They're going to hell, but you don't care. You're just in here sitting on your sitter. God didn't say sit. He said go. All right? They really do not do well. Structured settings, they're meant to be free to go. They're your bold personalities on the mission field, you know, going out there where nobody else will really go. So they might be aggravated with the normal function of organization and order and function. And so, but that we need those personalities as well, those dynamic personalities that get up and get the word out. See, we're not all the flamboyant personality. You know, we need those personalities that do that, that media person that can stand up and just make everybody feel like they're their friend. Okay? Next. What is it?
Giving.
Okay, givers. This is a good one. Our Bibles translate this one in Romans 12 of givers. But you know, really when you go back and look at the title of the early church on this and look up the Greek word that is used, it is actually meant to impart. They were literally the people, or the intelligence, literally the people that could see. In the earlier church, they would be like the super intelligent accountant type that when the church brought in all their possessions and stuff, they could, you know, disperse it out in percentages and what would work. And so they're more like your higher intelligent functioning people. This personality actually gets translated into, because they make, usually the higher intelligence usually makes a better living. So we have preachers preaching this as there is a gift of giving. You know, well, you guys are making more money than the rest of us because you got the brains. Rocket sciences, you know, your surgeons, you know, all your brainiacs out there make more money. And so they just are happy and content to write their little check on Sunday morning. But I think that's not what God had in mind. Now, the personality of the brain is somebody who studies well, applies well. They will go to Google, Wiki, anything to gain more knowledge. They're truth seekers, so they're always training themselves. They're always teaching themselves. They're never staying stagnant. They're in organization. They're going deep, and you don't just find them in regular books. You find them on some archaeological dig out there somewhere, going way back to prove one little tiny point in their session, you know. So these guys, trust me, know what they're talking about. That's why when you hear Nancy call out a certain person's name all the time, asking questions, no, we're not saying who, it's usually Debbie because she falls in this category. She's, all right? Can I just say this, not to pick on you, but here, this type of personality usually does know what they're talking about. Now, she's a very humble person, but not always. But seriously, if you're arguing with somebody who's a truth seeker and who has this personality, this impart personality, that has studied and being able to impart something into you that could be so revelational, you know, you do want to stop and pay attention. You do want to listen because they have deep stuff that is so deep. They might say, I know it. God told me, and I'm the only one who knows it. You know, so they get a deeper understanding and a revelation. So if you're ever arguing with this type of a personality, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Don't ever argue with this type of a personality because, trust me, they won't open their mouth and usually unless they have done the research behind it or knowledge. So we need these guys to impart into us all the detailed, you know, specific portions that take into making that whole thing work together, everything detailed that needs to go. They are your imparters to make sure everything works, your knowledge, and they have the keys to the kingdom, and their spirituality is given out keys to the kingdom that will give you a deeper revelation of how to get into a place to where you need to understand it a little bit better so you can start to move and function in it. So in the spirit, leadership. Okay, everybody loves leaders, right? I mean, our police officers, you know, all the leadership. The teenagers love their mother's advice, you know. We all love the leaders, the ones that are in the rulership position, the ones that were meant to lead. And this is what I want you to think of before I get into really talking about this personality. There is leadership in every one of us. This is one of those things that God disperses. And the same way with the servant, when we get to talking about that servant, acts of kindness too is in everybody. So this one is, you really have the choice. When you're an older sister, guess what? You're a leader. Right? Right? So when you are a wife with children, guess what? You're a leader. When you are a position in school or a place that you've been given for social activity or what, you become the leader. So this can be, as you use this gifting or this rulership position, be careful not to abuse it, because that could set you up for either future promotions or demotions. You know what I mean? In the spiritual realm. So that comes with a warning on that one. Leaders need to be mature. There are good leaders and bad leaders. I mean, the first leader that you think of a bad leader is Hitler, right? I mean, goodness sakes, that guy was born. He was a little no amount to nothing guy. And he meant to rule a whole nation, and he took him down the wrong road, way wrong. So be careful with this leadership position, because God gives you promotion in the spiritual realm, but you can also abuse it, you know. So just be careful. You need to just bask into the Lord, because that is a position of high responsibility. High responsibility, whether it's your little brother or whatever, mother, you know, position in your church. And I would just like to say this. I'm getting serious a little bit for right now. Right now we have an outpouring, and David, you're the only guy in here, I notice, and thank you for coming to my class. But I'm going to, and Caleb, Caleb's a young man here. And thank you for coming to my class, because I want to speak to the ladies just for a second, if it's okay. God right now is doing something in the spiritual realm. And for the last 2 months, and I might cry, because see, we were 60s, raised in the 60s, girls. We had to fight for rights. We had to fight, you know, to come out of a place, to be able to make it in the business realm, to be able to make it in the you know, the systems that are out there in the worldly systems. And so we fought to be able to, you know, be in that leadership position. But in the church was a little bit behind because of a couple scriptures in the Bible that are often misquoted and often quoted as law without an understanding of the times and seasons. And so Daddy wants me to tell you girls that we are in a season right now where he is saying it's okay to be who you are and to be super at who you are. It is okay for you to have that dynamic personality, to branch out to be into this leadership place. It is okay, because he's releasing these super personalities, and they're coming in female form. Because it's time for the church to begin to open up to the true mentors that we're supposed to be. And so you can't raise a family very, you know how hard it is, Robin, to raise a family on your own. It's very difficult. And in the church realm, we have been raising like a single parent. Our leadership has been all male. And so Daddy is telling me we are in a season of change right now. And so I would like to commend the men who came in here today, because I would like to say, don't be afraid when it starts happening and you see high anointings like the Nancy personalities coming up, because they're going to be coming up. Boom, 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 boom. These daisies are coming up all through the concrete. It is the season. You're okay to step into that. You're okay to be who you're called to be. It is okay to dream and dream big with God, because he needs a full functioning church. And in that, he needs the male personality who is subject to the male, and the female personality who is also dynamic and bold and will raise up other mentors. I mean, be the mentor to raise up other leaders underneath them who will become other mentors. We're in this season. Multiplication, multiplication, multiplication. So in the spiritual realm, I'm just releasing that right now. That was actually a prayer. So I think I got a little sidetracked there. We're talking about leadership.
The prophetic came over you.
Yeah. Leadership. What's the next one? Mercy. Mercy. Let's see what the young said in mercy. The literal translation of mercy. Sorry, I'm like Henry. I have like 15 to 16 pages of my deal, you know, if I want to. Okay, it's still scrolling, sorry. Okay. Mercy. Oh, yeah, that's right. A lot of translation is the one who shows kindness. These are the servants. And this gifting is in everybody as well. All right. Usually what you're going to find as I'm talking about these personalities and these giftings and these divine attributes is you have got a choice. You recognize some of them, well, that's me, and well, but maybe that other one was me too. And maybe I got a part of it, but see, that's just like our daddy. He gives us choices, and he says, look, this is what I prepared for you. Now, what's your passion? You know, what's your passion? What way do you want to go? I can remember a time frame in my life that I had to choose. I had to choose between music and I had to choose between art, all right? Now, I was talented in music. I could hear all the notes. I can sing all the harmony. When they gave me a position, matter of fact, it was the only position a woman could feel in the church was to sing, because we sure couldn't talk. We sure couldn't teach. You know, we sure couldn't preach. So really the only thing I could do was sing. And so I asked for the ability to sing, and the Lord gave it to me. And I would write songs after songs after songs and loved it. Started playing the guitar when I was older, but then had three babies and other things happened. It was called life, you know. Took up your time. And I wanted to stay at home with my babies. And so I said, God, I need help. He said, well, choose music or art. I will bless either one. So he asked me about my passion. And at the time, as a young adult, mother of three, only 21, okay, I chose art because I wanted to be at home with my babies. I wanted to be the one teaching and training my babies. I commend you, woman. And I wanted to be the one pouring into them, the God-hearing pouring into them, okay? I didn't want some worldly person feeding them crap and making them being raised on cartoons and whatever, you know, the other stuff out there. I wanted to be the one speaking life into them, because each one of them are individuals. Each one of them are uniquely gifted, and they needed to know it at a young age. And so I had the desire to stay at home and be the one. And so the Lord gave me an idea, and it started with crafting. Started with making little signs, you know, and phrases on those. And it is birthed into a huge store in Parkersburg, West Virginia, which is how we make our living, which is how I can come up and minister up here in Alaska. So we are the head and not the tail. He does want to bless you. But this is what you need to know. It is a process. You don't just start out with this 20,000 square foot in a mall somewhere to be over and administrating over and taking care of a business. You start out making that little craft and selling it at a garage sale, and then, you know, getting into craft shows, and you go that route, and the daddy breathes on that, and then you take the next step, and then daddy breathes on that, and you go to a bigger craft show, and you sell $5,000 worth, and you're just like, I didn't even know that could happen, you know? You think, I can really make a living on this. That was a good idea, God, you know? And then you just see it develop. And so these are the ideas, you know, that God can birth, but it is a process. That's what you need to know. So back to the server. I chose the art. It is the same one. Mercy, showing mercy is showing kindness. These are your do-gooders, you know. These are the people that you'll see opening the doors for people. If somebody drops something on the floor, they'll be the one picking it up for them. They are your servers, okay? These are the people that love to serve because they figured out the spiritual law that is give and it shall be given, all right? This is really a spiritual law. This is why servanthood is in all of us. The last shall be first. The servant is in every person. Every one of us should be servers, to serve someone, to prefer someone. You know, never get too haughty or so proud. And that was at the very first part of Romans 12, to a warning, don't ever get so proud that you don't, basically, you know, you get that attitude that, well, I'm too good for that. She used to do that. You go clean the toilet. You know, I got more important things to do. You know, not to prefer you or granny, you're having trouble sitting in, somebody else can help you. You know, I don't need to help you cross the street or whatever. So, but this servant personality is very important. The servers will be there for every possible thing that you need. If you know somebody who's a real true servant, they are a golden jewel to be around. They really are a golden jewel to be around because they will make you complete. They will feel like they make, you know, Jerry Maguire, you complete me. That's how a server personality really does to your personality. So this is why this personality is very important. It's a part of a divine attribute of God that pours into you first, so then you can pour back. They understand that spiritual law. You understand? They figured it out. They're good at it. So they have it come right back. So please, ask the Lord, improve upon that personality, that divine attribute that you have already placed within me, so I can serve somebody else today. Lord, where is your divine appointment that I could show somebody that I love them? Lord, where is your divine appointment that would speak into that person's life? Because the servers, really the only way to reach a server personality, if you really want to win a server personality over, is to serve them. That is the only way. So, I guess we're moving on. So we thank you, Lord, for the attributes that you have poured out into this place. And Lord, I thank you for my new friend, Deanne, and I thank you, Lord, for my gifted girls. And I thank you, Lord, for Caleb, who is young and moving up into a place. And I thank you, Lord, that you are taking us all to a newer level and a newer gifting, and you would take us into these places that we are stretched and where we can go into these places that are uniquely gifted. Not that everybody has to be like us, but we thank you, Lord, and ask you to position us. So right now I've got Danelle, who is uniquely gifted. Danelle's a beautiful young girl, and I can call on her any season, and she has a voice like Angel, and she's going to share with you her unique gift, okay? Anything you want to do or say, if you want to say something before you sing, that's fine too.
No one else in history is like you, and history is
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? That's very hard to do. Music teacher, that's very hard to do, coming up and singing a cappella. And you know, we could pick her apart and talk about flaws, but really that unique gifting is a sharing gifting. And so what I want to encourage you to do, whatever God has gifted you with, to begin to flow with it and move into it. And even if it's something as simple as getting before somebody, and to an artistic person, and to paint something in front of people, that's hard to do because they don't want you to see their work until they're completely finished with it. And they, you know, they don't like you seeing the process or the little part they messed up or they can't get fixed, or, you know, they see things that needs to be done or whatever. So whatever gifting that you are uniquely gifted, even if it's organizational skills, if you are gifted in administration and organization and you're one of those people, that is a gifting, you know. You recognize that gifting within you, because when we recognize who the giver of the gifts are, it's not pride when you use it. My generation was taught you can't get up before people and paint because that's not of God. That would be pride in your life. You know, it's actually the opposite to an artistic person. It's humbleness, because we don't want them watching until we're done, you know, till we can present our whatever we would think would be our best ability at the time, you know. So to see the stuff that didn't turn out right, or, you know, something that's humbling. But actually, I would encourage you to whatever stage you are in. And here's the thing. The very part of Romans, when it talks about prophecy, when it talks about, there is a warning that comes with that. When you move from the ability to the supernatural, this is what's happening in the spiritual realm. He's saying, okay, you recognize now that I'm in this, that I'm flowing through you. That is good. I want you to be super in that. I want you to get good at that. I want you to concentrate on that one thing. Let's do this. He's going to let you roll in it. You're going to practice, and you're going to practice, and you're going to practice. And you writers that are sitting in this room, you'll write your thing, and then you'll rewrite it, and then you'll rewrite it again. That's all a process, okay? That's all of who you are. You get better at what that unique gifting is. You keep getting better at what that unique gifting is. And then one point, Daddy's going to say, okay, now let me breathe into it. And that's the Ruach. That is that one divine appointment that you have with Daddy, that you begin to move from the ability to the supernatural realm. When you get to be hearing as what he wants to do with that unique gifting in you, and he will give you ideas that you would have thought, wow, wonder where that came from. Well, guess what? That is moving from the ability to the supernatural, you know. So what I'm talking about is in prophecy, when you begin to prophesy, you know, it says we're all to desire to prophesy. That is his will. You know, in certain portions, you may not walk and flow in this office, but in certain portions, you should be speaking, you know, encouragement and uplifting words into the next person next to you. So when you begin to move from the ability to the supernatural, he may take you into saying something and you this artistic gifting, and so you'll begin to start discussing something that you just painted, and you're saying, this is what the Lord's saying, and you start to tell them what they're saying, and they just begin to bawl. And they begin to weep, and they begin to fall, because, see, that's Daddy talking directly to their spirits. That's Daddy speaking directly to who they are. And we just hit a core or a place in their life that nobody else could have touched, because that came directly from him. That's from moving from ability to the supernatural. So if you can think of it on your own thing, it's not, you know, It's still ability, but it's God-breathed ability. And then when you can't come up with it on your own, and you know you can't come up with it on your own, those words that come out and flow out of you in prophetic form that you just spoke into their life and say, this is what I see over you, and this is what I'm seeing in the seer realm, and you begin to say that. Those are things that you can't come up with on your own. Those are supernatural abilities. That is when Daddy breathes on you. He breathes into your spirit and you become him. And you shining him is not bringing attention to yourself. You shining him is putting that attention back on him. It's all about you, God, because you are he first loved us. Amen. We can't give until we receive. And this is what I love about this little girl. See, there's daisies all around here to flow, to throw to people. But honestly, until she does this to receive from the lover of her soul first. She can't get to be able to throw that daisy to the next person. So she has got to understand. So when you have the battles in your life, and when you go before God, and when you're, you know, you're walking around with a cane, and you've been told you have diabetes, and you're going to continue to get worse and worse and worse as your life progresses, Daddy says, this is the way I see you. You know, and when you look at this picture, you know, this is the way I see you, whole and restored. And let me pour into you the love that I have for you. And you begin to cash that check on that little bit of faith, because prophesy according to your faith. According to your faith. That means just start where you're at. Don't start on this huge mountain, you know, with the guy that you saw that didn't have any arms and any legs in Patty's class. You don't walk up to them and say, Lord, bring us an arm. Jesus' name. Well, that didn't work, you know. Because you weren't prophesying according to your faith. You have to start working where your faith is. That is the process. I need to tell you something. Most people think that testimony is what they did wrong in their life before they came to the Lord. Do you know what the Lord told me testimony was? Testimony is not all the bad things that you did wrong, and now I'm coming off of drugs, and I've this and that and whatever. You know, that's not your testimony. Your testimony is what God said to you today. Amen. Your testimony is what God is pouring in you today. And see, your testimony is you saying what you just heard early in the morning when you woke up. Amen. That is your testimony. That is what God is doing in your life today. That is your testimony, not all the old crap, you know, that was out there. It's the fresh, anointed, new testimony. So when he says to the 70, go out there, and he sent them out to listen with ears to hear, and he sent them out there basically with nothing. They didn't even have the written word of God, for crying out loud. All they had was the Holy Spirit. Don't you feel sorry for them? Not really. Because he will always be there backing us up. Always be there backing us up. He will always come in that supernatural move. And so when they go into these houses and the first thing he says, and speak peace upon this place, guess what happens? Peace falls upon the place. Because they're going out in twos and they're in unity and they're doing what the Holy Spirit just told them to do, and they're functioning and their divine given attributes. And so when they go out and they cast out all these demons, and there's healings that's taken place, and 70 of them come back rejoicing, God! Did you know the demons are subject to us?
Yes.
He said, you know what? All authority has been given to me. And he reminded him where the authority comes from. Yes. Just a simple reminder. But he didn't rebuke them for having that thought, really. He just said, all authority comes from Daddy. Okay? All authority comes from Daddy. You were able to do that. And he says, be happy that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What that means is, I'm so excited that you were written into that storyline, and I rejoice with you that you are already written there and I've seen it. That's what he's happy about, that you're in his story, that you get to be a part of his story, that you're already written there. So don't ever forget your testimony. Don't ever forget your story. Don't ever forget your unique gifting. Just let him use it. Just let him use it. Just let him use it. And there's people in here that have singing abilities that the Lord is going to be using in healing, because they've went through things in their life. Now they have the compassion to understand what pain feels like. They're going to be used in many, many forms. There's people in here that are writers that are going to cause people to see clearer and have better perspective. There are people in here that have the organization skills to put off multi-leveled, functioning, going ministry and organizing things in here, because we're in a moment of multiplication right now. You know what? The church has got to become ready. And this is why I'm speaking to you so profoundly, because you have got to step up to your position that God wants you to be in. You have got to step up to that place. He says, step it up a notch, because you know what? We're not really ready for if the great awakening happens. The church is not ready yet. So what he's having to do right now is put us in a 7-year cycle of plenty to prepare us to get into that position. So when they start flooding in, and when God really starts using you the way that he intends to use you, you see how precious and pure that is, you know, and you get in line with the kingdom of God, and you get in line with the unseen realm, you know, and you start working and functioning in the way he wants you to function. When the floods come in and the great awakening does happen, you'll be linked up with her and her and her and her, because you know what? You know you can't do it all by yourself. It takes a whole unit. It takes all the functioning personalities. It takes all the people, really, to function as one. And so that's my biggest point today. Gifts come from Daddy. Always recognize Daddy. When you use them and flow with him, it is not pride. It's bringing back glory to your Father, because you are not taking this for granted. I take the giftings as treasure. Treasure. To be given to somebody else because they weren't meant for me. It's a treasure when somebody gets something out of something that I do. It's a treasure. It's a treasure. You're giving out gold. You're literally giving out treasures of the kingdom. So...